Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Hear the word of the Lord from the psalmist, from Psalm 119, 89 through 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen the limit to all perfection. But your commandments is exceedingly broad. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our hymn. The Lord from the Old Testament, from 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all of the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it." And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon. "O Baal, answer us!" But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. And there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill four jars with water and pour them on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, They fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you do hear our prayers and that you do answer us. We pray, dear Father, that you would continue to strengthen us with your promise to be with us always. Bless us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament, had a tough road ahead of him because he listened to God. He did what God asked. God had put Elijah in the land, and King Ahab was king. And King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, according to the scriptures, did more evil in the sight of God than any other kings of Israel did before them. That gives you an idea of who Ahab and Jezebel are. King Ahab set up altars for Baal. King Ahab worshipped Baal. King Ahab made sure that all of these altars were protected. And then Jezebel, his wife, she was killing the prophets. Elijah knew very well what this meant. He was drawing a line in the sand, and he would stand on one side, and the false gods and the false prophets of Baal and King Ahab and all of his power and all of his authority would stand on the other, and there stands Elijah. That sounds like somebody who has a lot of courage. Or better yet, somebody who trusted that God would do what he said. Ahab had continued to do all of these evil things, and 3 years before this, Elijah comes to King Ahab and with a message from God and says that there will be no more rain in the land until Elijah appears one more time. And there wasn't. No rain in the land. Elijah came forward with that, and as he comes to, you can get a little bit of an idea about the relationship, because when he comes to King Ahab says, "Oh, it's you, O troubler of Israel." They had a reputation. Elijah had a reputation. He would not cower. He would not back up. He sets up what we know today with the prophets of Baal is this line in the sand. He says, "Okay, let's try. Let's draw the line. You set up your altar. You set up the wood. Take your bull, cut it up, put it on there. Call to your gods all you want. And I'll call to mine. And the God that answers is the real God." Kind of a no-nonsense way to figure it out, isn't it? And the prophets of Baal cut the bull and they put it on the altar. And they wailed, and they moaned, and they cut themselves until the blood was flowing. And no God. Nothing. No one paid attention. Because there was no God there. You have to love Elijah because he liked to poke the bear a little. Well, maybe your God's musing. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's on vacation or sleeping and you have to wake him up. Incidentally, this knock on wood that we often do is an old ancient custom to wake up the false gods who are sleeping so that they will help you. Very similar to the story. Nothing happened. These false prophets of God, these false prophets of Baal, cried and moaned and cut themselves and did everything in their power to wake their non-existent dead God up, and nothing happened. And Elijah steps forward and organizes the wood, and he cuts the bull and he lays it on, and then he digs a trench, a moat around it, and he has them bring 4 big barrels of water, and they pour it over the wood and over the sacrifice, and it falls down and it fills the water, and they did that 3 times. There's no way this is going to burn. And Elijah calls on the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the one true God, and God answered immediately. And the fire came, and it licked up everything that was there, the wood, the stones, the dust, the water, everything was gone, and God consumed it to show without any doubt that there is a God in Israel, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Elijah that day came before King Ahab, and Ahab was affirmed in his non-belief. Ahab was affirmed knowing that there was one true God and he was not worshiping him. He would have known at that point in time what that meant for him. When God comes to us in his word, he takes away all of our false gods. Anything that we trust in, he takes away. Because we can call on our false gods all we want and they won't answer. And we try even harder. We call on them even more. On our success, on our power, on our financial planning, on our believing that there is no real God and I'll just do my own thing and it'll be fine. And there will be a time when calling on all of those false gods will reveal they are just as dead and just as non-existent as the gods that Baal and his prophets called on. But there's another side to this story. We look at this story and we see Elijah, and he appears to be the rock solid one. He appears to be the one who has it all put together. His faith is absolutely unwavering in God, and he goes and he calls on the name of God, and God comes and wipes everything out. And just two chapters later, we see Elijah running for his life because Jezebel said, by tomorrow he'll be dead. And he's afraid. And he's running and he's hiding. And God comes to him. He needed that affirmation. He needed this affirmation right here to know that as he goes forward, that the one true God is listening. And when we call, he does answer. And he upheld Elijah, and he fed him with the ravens and the water, and Elijah continued to be the prophet of Israel that God called him to be. We need that affirmation too. How many times have you felt like God isn't there? God isn't listening? Things aren't going the way that I thought? Where are you, God? I'm calling, I'm doing everything you ask, and God seems to be silent. But our God isn't silent. He comes to us. He comes to us in this place, right here, where he promises to be. When we gather and worship a divine service, and we start in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's called the invocation. Invoking, asking God to be with us. It's also a way for us to remember that not only is he here with us in worship, that this God is also the one who placed his mark both upon your forehead and upon your heart as one redeemed by the work of Christ the crucified. This real and present God that we have promises to be here as we gather, and he promises to affirm us and strengthen us in our weakness, in our brokenness. Our God comes to us not only in the invocation, but when we gather at the beginning and we tell God there's really no reason you should be here because I'm a sinner and I've done all the things you said not to do and I don't want to end up like the prophets of Baal. And our Lord comes to us and says, you're forgiven because Jesus died on the cross for those sins. You're forgiven for all of those things that you stumbled with this week. You're forgiven and strengthened, and I promise to continue to be with you every day of your life through all of the struggles that you have. Right there in the confession absolution, our Lord proves to us he's not running away. He's not scared by your sin. He's not put off by all the times that you run after your false gods. Instead, he comes in his real presence to us, stands in our place on the cross, takes our sin and punishment, rises again on the third day so that you will know this God is real and he's for you. Our Lord comes to us not only through the beginning, the invocation and the confession absolution, but also he comes to us right here in the preaching of his word, strengthening you with the promises that we repeat almost every week. I will be with you. I will be with you always. Always. On your great days and on your bad days. On the days when you were pretty confident you can do it on your own, and on the days you were so broken you don't know if you can even pray. I will be with you always. It's the same promise that he made for Elijah, and he affirmed it there when he burned up all of the things, all of the sacrifices. Our Lord comes to us through the preaching that your faith that he has given to you is strengthened, that you might continue to go on one more day. Our Lord comes to us in his very body and blood. This is the real deal. The real Jesus comes to us in, with, and under the bread and wine is the same Jesus that Mary bore. The same Jesus that was nailed to the cross. The same Jesus that stood there and Mary grabbed him. And Jesus said, "Don't grab me yet, I haven't ascended to the Father." The same Jesus that appeared to Thomas and the disciples. The same Jesus that says, "And lo, I will be with you always." Right here with us, in, with, and under the bread and wine for you. Ahab was affirmed in his unbelief, and it would cost him his life eternally. Elijah was affirmed when God came and kept his promise. And that carried Elijah through a very dark time as he wondered if he would survive. Our Lord is with us, affirming you tonight in your faith that he gave to you in your baptism, that he loves you and he has forgiven you, and he will not forsake you, and he will be with you always. In the name of Jesus, amen.